You're listening to Minimalish, a podcast where we talk about simplifying our stuff, our lives, our motherhood, all in a realistic way so that we can make room for what matters. We're not here for perfectly tidy homes or seeing how much we can possibly declutter. We're here for living with less. Realistically, it's going to look different for all of us, but we're not really focused on how our version of minimalism looks anyways. We're focused on how it feels. I'm your host, Desiree. I'm a mom to two and on my own journey of living with a little less clutter so I can have more space for an intentional life. I'm no expert, and I like to think of this as a corner of the internet where we're learning and growing together. So let's walk towards a more simple and intentional life. Here's this week's episode. Welcome back to Minimalish. We are at the edge of winter here. There are signs of spring all around, but for me, the last few weeks have still really felt like I've been dragging. Like, the winter blues have just run their course, and I am over the gray sky days. And I know that, you know, the weather is different everywhere, but a lot of us do experience winter blues. And being that we are in March here, it just feels like, okay, this has been a really long time. Like, we are ready for the change in the weather and the change in the season, right? The reason I'm saying this is because I think during these times where we might feel like we're dragging, or we might feel even worse than that, like experiencing just the winter blues or something else, whatever it might be that makes us feel less like ourselves, well, there are things that we can do that make us feel more like ourselves in the midst of all of that, right? And those things can help us when we're experiencing things like the winter blues, or even just like feeling lost in motherhood. But as busy people with jobs, responsibilities, kids, whatever it may be, the things that make us feel the most alive often take the back burner. We count them as less essential. And today's episode, I hope, will have you feeling a little bit differently about whatever it is that makes you feel alive. My guest, Ashley Gadd, and I are talking all about creating in the throes of motherhood. This is one of those episodes that falls within the category of things that matter, because this podcast is about creating space for what matters most. And we talk about the process of creating space and minimalism, and then we talk about the things that matter. And I do think that creating in whatever way feels fulfilling to us is so important. But again, it often gets tagged as less essential when life gets busy, which can sometimes be like the entirety of our parenthood or the entirety of our busy adult life. And I don't want that for us. If you think that you're not a creative person, I just want you to think of whatever it is that makes you feel more alive, that makes you feel more like you as you listen to this episode. Even if you think it's not under the category of creativity. Or maybe think about something creative that you've been wanting to try or wanting to put more time towards, but you've been putting off. And it doesn't have to be like a crafty, artsy thing. Maybe it's dancing. Maybe it's moving your body. Maybe it is some form of art. Maybe it's writing. Maybe something in between. It is so important that we are doing these things that make us feel more fulfilled. And that's why I invited my guest today, Ashley Gadd, onto the show. Ashley is a wife, a mother of three, a believer, and the founder of Coffee and Crumbs. When she's not working or vacuuming Cheerios out of the carpet, she loves making friends on the internet, eating cereal for dinner, and rearranging bookshelves. Her book, Create Anyway, The Joy of Pursuing Creativity in the Margins of Motherhood, is available wherever books are sold. And I read this book, and then I really wanted to have her on the podcast to talk about it. So let's go ahead and dive into my conversation with Ashley. All right, Ashley, I'm honored to have you on the show today. I was just telling you before we hit record, I have been a longtime listener of your podcast, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I just want to hear a little bit about who you are and what you do, just for any listeners who aren't familiar with you.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me. Thank you for the kind words about our podcast. Yeah, my name is Ashley Gadd. I am a wife, a mother. I have three kiddos, ages 4, 8, and 11. Constantly have to like check that math in my head, but I think that's right. And I live in Sacramento, California, and I'm a writer, a photographer, and then I run an online literary space for mothers called Coffee and Crumbs. We have a collection of really beautifully written essays on our site. And we also have a podcast. And I think that's me. I just had a book come out called Create Anyway, The Joy of Pursuing Creativity in the Margins of Motherhood. And okay, now I think that's it. That's me.
Yeah. And we're going to talk all about just the idea of creating in motherhood today. I started reading your book and I just loved it right away and just loved the concept of it. I've always been a creative person. I like to write. I don't think of myself as creative sometimes because I'm not like the crafty creative type of person.
Me either.
But I do love to write and create in other ways. And so as I started reading that book, I was like, I need to have you on the show because I think so many other moms could just benefit from your message. Before we talk about your book, I want to hear a little bit about Coffee and Crumbs. I love Coffee and Crumbs, and I have been reading and listening for a really long time. But just for anyone who is unfamiliar, can you talk a little bit about just, I guess this is your story of creating, right, in the margins of motherhood all along and what it's become. So just share a little bit about Coffee and Crumbs and how it came to be.
Yeah, I would love to. Well, we just had our 9-year, I don't know what you want to call it, an anniversary, a birthday, but Coffee and Crumbs has officially been in the world for 9 years, which seems really wild, especially when I consider the ages of my kids. I've been running this space since I had a 2-year-old and another baby in my belly. So I launched Coffee and Crumbs in July of 2014. And at the time, you know, I was a very young new mom, kind of out searching for, I don't know, other just stories about motherhood. I've always been a writer. I've always identified as a writer. And I think when I was kind of in those early days of motherhood, I was looking to connect with other women through stories and through the craft of writing. And at the time, so this would have been, you know, circa 2012, 2013, when I kind of first became a mom, I wasn't really finding anything online that fit the kind of writing that I myself wanted to do and wanted to read as a new mother. You know, I think nowadays in 2023, those sites are very popular and abundant, and there's plenty of spaces online now, right, where women write and connect through the craft of storytelling. But back then, when I first became a mother, you know, the options were pretty limited of what was out there. And I just found myself constantly feeling hungry for a space online where women could write about the transformative nature of motherhood, you know, where women could write really honestly about the ups and the downs and the good and the bad and, you know, all of the beautiful parts and all of the messy parts and all of the gritty, nuanced parts. And that was kind of my initial vision for Coffee and Crumbs, was I wanted a place where women could write together about motherhood in all its nuanced glory, I guess. And so that was kind of the inspiration. And then, if you haven't been part of it since the very beginning or been privy to it since the beginning, you know, I would say that my entire vision for that space was so small in the very beginning. It was going to be my passion project, something I worked on during nap time. And God had other plans in mind, and the site grew really quickly beyond my wildest expectations. And so I've kind of been just along for the ride ever since, in a way. But yeah, that's Coffee and Crumbs.
I love that. And I mean, obviously there are other women who were looking for what you were looking for, right? And it took off for that reason, because we need the honest stories. But I love that it's honest, but you know, there's always this feeling of just like positivity at the same time. There's a lot online of brutally honest motherhood memes that just like painted in such a negative light. You know,
yeah.
It's like there can be both of being honest with the hard parts, but also, you know, looking to the good. And I think that's why I've always loved Coffee and Crumbs.
Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that. I do think that's something that our writers, we take very seriously, you know, like the stewardship of our work and our words and that space. And we know how many women are reading our work there. And I think that we do feel a very real responsibility, you know, not to sugarcoat motherhood, not to tie it up in a bow, but to look for the good, to look for the beauty, to look for the hope. And I really hope that at the end of the day, most people who read our work consistently would be able to say that we are really honest and really truthful without, yeah, like just kind of burying ourselves in negativity, which I do think is a really pervasive theme in a lot of motherhood work even now. So thanks for saying that.
Yeah. Well, as we kind of dive into talking about creativity and motherhood, what I love about your book is I feel like a lot of the messages about creativity and motherhood out there are like for the mom who wants a side hustle. You know what I mean? And not that obviously like that's a great thing too, but we all have creativity in us somewhere. And for some reason, I think just, you know, the culture of the internet and everything right now makes us all feel like, you know, if you're not doing your creative thing as your passion, then it's less important. And so I think with motherhood, how it just takes over us and whatever else is going on in life, then we lose that part of us unless we're trying to make it our jobs, right? So I would love to, first of all, just hear, like, why are you passionate about encouraging mothers to continue to create, you know, in the trenches of motherhood? And I guess why you wrote the book in general.
Yeah. I love everything that you just said. And I do think that, I mean, you're absolutely right. There is, I was just chatting with a photographer friend of mine the other day about, we were talking about doing portfolio work, and then that led into another conversation about, you know, having creative freedom and sometimes the pressure that we feel to turn all of our work into a commodity and into, you know, something we have to profit from. It seems like if we're good at something and we have a creative talent, we have to kind of make it our job and make it our hustle. But so many of us, we just want to make good art because we want to, you know, and I think there's a lot of freedom in that. And so that's something I've definitely wrestled with for a long time. And I think that one of my goals going into working on Create Anyway was really just diving down into such a foundation of creativity matters. You know, it matters to us as humans. It matters to us as mothers, whether you make money from it or not, whether it's your job or not, whether it's, you know, something you actually sell on the internet or something that just brings you an immense amount of joy. The sheer act of creating is so worthwhile for what it can do to our hearts and our minds and our souls. And I know that for us mothers, especially who are just in that daily grind of monotony for so many years, especially mothers with young children, which is sort of, I would say maybe the primary target reader for this book. I just really wanted to encourage mothers to not lose that part of themselves. You know, I think there is so much, beauty to be found in motherhood. And I think that so often when we kind of lose access to that creative part of ourselves, that creative part of our hearts and our minds, you know, it can taint how we view motherhood in general. And so I know for me, from personal experience, I'm not like a young mom, but I still think, you know, my children are relatively young in the grand scheme of things. And if, you know, there's sort of one thing I've really learned in the past decade of raising kids, it's that when I take the time to nurture that creative side of myself, not only does it help me thrive as a mother, but it also just, it pours so much nourishment out into my family as well. And I'm just really passionate about that message of helping women kind of reframe creativity as something of, you know, selfishness or something that breeds guilt. To this can actually be just such a generous offering for yourself and for your family when we give ourselves permission to do the things that light us up, that make us feel alive. You know, everyone around us benefits from that, and it's a good thing. It was kind of a long-winded answer, but
No, it's so good. I feel more myself when I'm creating in the ways that I enjoy creating. And mm-hmm. I think that we can all say that we are better for, like you said, the people in our families, our kids, our spouses, whenever we are making that time to create. So it is so important. And we think of it as frivolous sometimes and something that we should push off because, you know, there's more important things in front of us. But everything comes from creativity in some way, form or another, right? So yeah. What does it look like to create in the margins? Because, you know, create anyway, it's not about like, let's set aside. I'm going to show you how to set aside chunks and chunks of time so that you can create this masterpiece of whatever it is. It's about creating alongside of motherhood. And I love that you talk about how you wrote the book in that way and you really give pictures of that. So what does that look like for you to create in the margins of your life?
Yeah. I think, you know, when I was a new mom, I had just such a different idea of what that could even look like. You know, I really thought, oh, I want to keep making art. Art is important to me. I want to keep creating. And now that I'm a mother, I'm somehow going to magically figure out how to like be a mom in these hours of the day. And I'm going to be an artist in these hours of the day. But I think any woman would know, you know, at some point you have to just sort of accept and surrender to the fact that once you're a mother, like you're a mother forever. And I likewise really truly believe that God created all of us to be artists and creative. And that's something we are forever. It's not something, being an artist and being a mother are not roles we get to just clock in and out of, you know, they just are part of who we are. And I think once I really accepted that, it made it easier for me to not try so hard to break my days into these little efficient chunks, but rather to kind of accept the mess for what it really is, you know, which means that sometimes I'm sitting at the dining room table and I'm writing alongside my kids who are making their own, you know, paper airplanes and scribbling on pieces of paper and doing their own things. Sometimes it does look like setting my alarm really early so I can get up and have some quiet time before my kids are awake so I can actually get the quiet time that I need to get the thoughts out of my head. You know, sometimes it looks like my kids are in the backyard running through the sprinklers and jumping on the trampoline. And I'm just sitting in a chair in the grass with a notebook and I'm writing in it while they're screaming and hollering all around me. And I don't know. I think that the more and more I've let go of the notion that I have to keep my art separate from my motherhood and I have to keep my motherhood separate from my art, the more it's just made sense to kind of blend those two worlds together and see what I can make from it. And that's kind of the summation of, I think, all the work that I make comes from that place.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned, like, there are times where you are working for maybe a couple of hours at a time, or I shouldn't say working, creating for a couple of hours at a time early in the morning or maybe during nap time or something like that. But there are other times where it's not just turning it on and off. And I think I, you know, with creativity being my work, but also just like being a creative person in general and doing creative things that I enjoy outside of work, I think I fall into feeling guilty sometimes that like, oh, I'm thinking of, you know, this thing I want to write while it just like popped into my head while I'm sitting here and playing with my kids. So how do you deal with the guilt that can come along with like, oh, I'm actually going to set aside some time to create, or I'm going to sit here and create while my kids are maybe playing and I'm not giving, you know, I'm giving my creativity and my attention and not fully them, even though I'm with them. Like, how do you get past that guilt?
I think, you know, I have so many feelings about just the word guilt in general. Mm-hmm. It conjures up so much in me because on the one hand, I will be really honest and transparent with you and tell you that there have been seasons where I have felt convicted that my creative work has taken over my life in not a healthy way. And it might be time to pull back and kind of reorganize or reprioritize. But more often than not, I think oftentimes when I am feeling feelings of guilt of, oh man, I'm trying to just reclaim this time and this space for myself to pursue the things that I want to make, a lot of times I can come back to the truth that when I am pursuing the things in life that make me feel alive, that energize me, that light me up, that transforms the way that I show up for my family. And that is a gift and a blessing to them. It's not bad. It's not, you know, taking something away from my family, which I think is the common narrative, right? That if we spend time on our art, we're taking something away from our family. And I've been working really hard to kind of rewrite that narrative of, no, when I am taking the time to make art, I'm actually adding something to my family, which is a mother who is more fulfilled and is nourished and can actually show up to her family in a lot of brighter, better ways. And so, but it's like a balance. I don't know if that's, that's your experience too. I think that a lot of times guilt can be rewritten by a new narrative. And I think that there have been a select few times in my life, and I just want to be really honest about that, where the guilt is actually a conviction that I'm feeling in my heart that I need to pay attention to.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem with the internet, or like even just working from home in general, or just getting really passionate about something and, you know, wanting to dive all in, whatever it might be, is that it can be hard to turn it off. And, you know, there's also something to be said about being fully present in the moment, which can be hard if we're focused on something creative. So I can see that it's just like, it's a balance and not necessarily a balance that you're like always striking all the time.
One thing I was thinking about while you were talking too is just how often motherhood itself comes in these seasons, you know, and I have been in seasons where my kids have demanded a lot of me, or even my body has demanded a lot of me, you know, being postpartum or recovering from a miscarriage. I mean, there have been really specific seasons in my motherhood where I had to tend to the real parts of my very real life more than I needed to tend to my writing. And I think it's so good to remind ourselves that like none of that lasts forever. You know, you're never in one season forever. We are constantly shifting and growing, and our kids are coming and going out of different seasons. And I think that just because you might happen to be in a season where your real life is demanding so much of your presence and your attention and your energy doesn't mean you're always going to stay there. And that's helpful, I think, to keep in mind in the back of our heads.
Hungry Root has made a big difference for our family. We just got our newest box full of tasty food. It included ingredients and recipes for some extremely simple, quick, and healthy dinners, and a bunch of snacks. And one of our family favorites was the Abe's banana bread, which we will be ordering again and again. We love Hungry Root because there is a short quiz that takes note of your allergies and dietary preferences in general. And this is a big deal in my house because my youngest has a dairy and peanut allergy. So the fact that we are able to search through all of these groceries and get all of these groceries and dinners suggested to us that takes into account her allergies, that has changed the game for us. Hungry Root is your partner in healthy living, and it is the easiest way to get fresh, high-quality groceries and simple, healthy recipes delivered to your door. You could take that fun, short quiz that I mentioned earlier, and Hungry Root gets to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, the kitchen appliances you use, again, your allergies, dietary preferences. They'll build a personalized cart with all of your grocery needs for the week, and they give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to good use. Each order is fully customizable, and they have everything from fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, pantry staples, healthy snacks. And like I mentioned before, I prioritize snacks and quick dinners in our shipment, and we are never disappointed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Save hours planning, shopping, and cooking. Hungry Root delivers food you'll love. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Minimalish listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/minimalish and get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/minimalish. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. You can find it in the show notes. Let's get back to today's episode. You said your oldest is 11?
Mm-hmm.
So have you seen any benefits like of your kids seeing you create? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I think, you know, ultimately my creative efforts and my creative endeavors, I think have really helped cultivate a spirit of creativity in our home. So that means in the same way that I love to be supported in my creative endeavors, in my creative pursuits, I work really hard to support my children in theirs. So whether that's, you know, making the actual logistical, physical space for my kids to create, you know, our dining room table is kind of just a mess all of the time. And I have just accepted that for what it is. We have a little rolling cart that we keep right next to the table with art supplies. And I'm actually really good and disciplined about setting up set times for our whole family to create and make art, you know, on a very, very regular basis. You know, during the pandemic, we decided that my kids could move all of their Legos into the garage. And, you know, we live in a small house, don't have a lot of extra space. And the Legos were just, number one, they were driving me absolutely crazy during COVID when we were all just like trapped in here. They were just everywhere. But we moved the Legos into the garage, and very quickly my kids wanted to build, they call it Lego City. And so my husband, you know, went out, we had some scrap wood around from some leftover house project, and he ended up building them this table. And they got, I don't know what they're called, but you know, the little kind of foundational Lego pieces, they're like these big squares that you can kind of glue on top of a table and then you can build on top of them. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we say yes to, that I say yes to. Like, you want to go out in the garage and you want to build a whole city made out of Legos and you want to do that every day and spend time on that? Yes, you have my blessing. Yes. You know, I think it's cultivated. I think my creative pursuits have modeled a love and appreciation for creativity, but I also think it's genuinely helped our household, just the vibe here. You know, the vibe in our home is pretty creative a lot of the time. So I've definitely seen that, not just in Everett, but in all of my kids.
Yeah, I love that. Going back to that idea of guilt, like we can feel guilty for setting aside time for ourselves to create, but our kids seeing that in us, you know, seeing us setting aside that time to create, I always think, you know, that would only encourage them to do the same. And
yeah,
I would assume that as they get older, they maybe see that a little bit more or can comprehend it a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think my 11-year-old, I mean, he actually just read Create Anyway for the first time,
that's awesome.
Like within the last month. And so that was really special for me, but he definitely has, I would say my 11-year-old has more of an understanding of what my job is and what it takes to do the work that I do. And he has started to kind of ask more questions about that. And it's been really special to share, not that it's about the accomplishment or the act of writing a book, but having something tangible that I could show him, like, this is the thing I've been working on for 3 years, you know, here it is, I think has definitely left a mark on him. And that's been really cool to see. And I hope that my other kids will see that someday.
Oh, I love that so much. You know, we've talked a lot about the guilt that sometimes, you know, moms can feel, and that can cause them to put aside anything that they maybe love to do creatively before kids. But do you find any other reasons that moms lose their creativity or, you know, let go of something that they once loved to do? And any encouragements for someone who has felt that way, like they've maybe lost themselves in motherhood a bit, and, you know, let go of those passions along the way?
I mean, how easy is it to just lose all of yourself in motherhood? I think that so many of us struggle with that. I know for me personally, I wanted to be a mom my entire life, and I still found myself with that first baby on my chest just feeling so out of sorts, you know, with just how all-consuming it was to just love this little person that I'm suddenly in charge of. And I think that for so many moms, you know, if we don't, I have a few thoughts. I think that first and foremost, it's just very easy to go from, especially if you're becoming a first-time mom, right? So you've gone from like a childless experience to suddenly being a mother. I think that is a really, really big transformation. And I think the all-consuming nature of it is very overwhelming. And it's very easy to lose a lot of things in that transition. It's, you know, you're losing sleep and you're losing control over your body. And like you're just losing so much in that transition and finding your way back to yourself. And it makes sense to me that, again, anything that we sort of consider maybe not essential would kind of drop off the to-do list every day or drop off our list of priorities. I also think that the longer we step away from something, the harder it can be to come back. And that's something that I've experienced in my motherhood many times where I'm, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, actually having another baby or just a specific season of depression or a season of something else going on with me where I feel like I'm just kind of being swallowed up or just kind of, yeah, like disappearing into a vortex of circumstances. I think it's really hard to come back to something after you've let go of it for so long. And so I think that's, those are kind of two of the challenges I really see a lot in mothers, is that they just are either completely drowning in motherhood and like literally just don't have the capacity or the bandwidth, or they've let it go for so long that they cannot find their way back. And I think both of those are very valid experiences. And if I was going to, yeah, really encourage a mother to kind of dip her toe back in the creative waters, I would really start with this kind of foundational belief that her creativity matters. I feel like I just can't, I say that all the time, and I feel like I've already said it once or twice on this show, but I feel like I can't say it enough at the same time, that when you really truly believe that it matters, you know, at the end of the day, like we can figure out how to make time for the things that matter to us. And so I think it's just really good for women to examine what creative pursuits in their life really make them feel most themselves, and find a way. It's not always easy, but find a way to make space for that.
Yeah, because, you know, I think that is probably the biggest reason is this belief that it just doesn't matter, or it's less essential than other things. And there's so much else going on, especially in new motherhood. But yeah, changing that script that it does matter. And it is essential to be the best version of ourselves. That makes a difference. When we believe that, then we start taking steps to actually, you know, find pockets of time to do it. I have kind of a fun question that I wanted to ask you, because I've heard you talk on your podcast before about how you are kind of minimalist in a way. You like to have less stuff and less clutter in your home. So I'm just curious, does having less stuff, or just less clutter, I should say, have any impact on your ability to create, like within the full days of motherhood?
I mean, absolutely. And I will just have some real talk with you right now and tell you that the state of my house right now is not clutter-free. And this morning I had a tiny little pocket of childcare, and I literally left my house to go work at Starbucks for 45 minutes, which was not efficient time-wise, but I knew I'm going to just work better if I get out of here for a little bit. But yeah, generally speaking, I think having less clutter, having just more blank everything around me helps me create better. I don't create super well in mess, but I also think that's really personality specific. And I know a lot of people who thrive in clutter and they think it's creative and they like to have lots of stuff around them and that helps their process. And I'm very much like, you do you. I support that. It's just, that doesn't work for me, but you do you.
On a podcast about, you know, minimalism, I just had to ask, because I had heard you mention that before on your podcast, that you enjoy having a clutter-free environment.
I do. It might just be my personality, but yeah.
Well, we are proponents of that here on Minimalish. Different levels of it, of course, because yes. I also, like, I'm creating in a somewhat messy bedroom right now, and I'm fine.
I like to joke that I am an aspiring minimalist who lives with four people who are not minimalists. And so that's challenging too. You know, I can't put my needs above my entire household, but I do try sometimes.
Well, thank you so much again for your time and coming on the show. I have two quick kind of like rapid fire questions that I like to ask every guest. So the first one is, what is something that you're simplifying right now?
Oh gosh. I'm simplifying my dinner routine around here. Whatever everyone can grab or make quickly. And some days we are all just eating in the backyard, and other days we are sitting down at the table, but I'm not making anything fancy all summer. We're eating hot dogs and it's fine.
Yes, I feel that.
Yeah, having the kids home every day, they're hungry all the time, asking for food all the time. And it's like I just had to give myself, by the end of the day, I'm completely overfeeding them. And so we're going real easy on the summer dinners right now.
I love it. Well, the last question I have is, what's something that you're loving right now?
Something I'm loving right now is not setting my alarm at 5 a.m. I have given myself permission. I'm normally a very early riser. I do that intentionally so I can write in the morning before my day gets started. And I decided a few months ago that I was not going to get up at 5 a.m. all summer long. And I am really enjoying sleeping in till 6:30, 7 o'clock some mornings, which feels very luxurious. So I'm loving that.
That's lovely. There is a season for everything, right? Sometimes yes. You have to wake up at 5 a.m. and sometimes sleeping in.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on the show. And create something today, this week, whenever, but do it soon, whatever it might be. A creative outlet is just so important, not just for how it lights us up, but how it can also impact and contribute and inspire others. And how it can set an example for our families, how it can bring us to a better version of ourselves so that we can show up better for others. And I know that I'm inspired by hearing Ashley talk about all of this, and I hope you are too. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope you'll share it with a friend, share it on social media, Instagram, wherever you like to share things. I am grateful for you for sharing. I just wanted to quickly remind you that we have a book club coming up in April. We are reading Organizing for the Rest of Us by Dana K. White. You can join us now in the collective, which is where we're going to host the book club, but we are always doing other fun things there. There's a bonus podcast twice a month, and right now we are towards the end of our decluttering challenge, which if you join, you can get all of the details for the decluttering challenge and do it yourself, but I'm loving this space. You can find it at patreon.com/minimalish. It is a great little community, and we are supporting one another in our minimalish endeavors. Again, thank you so much for being here. The fact that you are listening in and supporting the show, this minimalish is my version of creating something that matters to me. And it makes me better. It makes me a better version of myself to be creating here every single week. So just thank you for being here. And thank you for encouraging me to keep going. Because motherhood does get busy. And sometimes it is hard to push through and keep on creating. But it is worth it. It is meaningful. It does matter. It is what I continue to remind myself, and I hope that this episode has reminded you of that as well. And I will talk to you right back here again on the next episode.
Hi there, I'm Rachel, and I'm the host of 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms, a podcast for women who want to love motherhood as much as they love their children. In each 30-minute episode, my guests and I give 3 actionable takeaways that will help you make your family life a little better each week. I'd love for you to give us a listen. Listen to 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.